Amen.
Some of those packages, there's a signature required. They won't just leave it on the porch. You have to be there. So you have to hurry up and get back home. I'm so thankful this morning that the signature that was needed has already been given. The authority has already been placed on the line. Nothing I have to do to become worthy to receive His goodness or His mercies. Signature is already provided. The power is already applied. Lord, You are abundantly good to us this morning. We celebrate the wonders of Your special gifts. Oh, we are not worthy of Your mercies, which are brand new every single morning. If yesterday's mercies are exhausted, that's all right, because it's brand new this morning, oh Lord, and You have provided according to Your abundant goodness, according to Your abundant mercies. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. As you're turning to 3 John, it is certainly an honor to be here with you this morning. Sherry and I always feel so right at home when we are here in Racine. When I came in this morning, it felt like there was a party about to happen. You step into a restaurant that's set up for some child's party. There are balloons and cakes and presents stacked on the table. You expect to see that little child smiling and dancing around a little bit with anticipation. It's kind of what I felt when I came into the house of the Lord this morning, some holy anticipation of a good, good God, and we get to get together with His family, our brothers and sisters, and celebrate that abundant goodness. Amen. Thank you for the invitation, Pastor. What a privilege and honor it is to be here. Many of you probably don't know it, but you all sent me a check back 6 or 8 weeks ago when evangelists were losing all gigs. And I wound up canceling flights and canceling this and canceling that. And you know, it's awful easy to start worrying when things get canceled. Anybody else have that problem, or am I the only one in the house? But the Lord has wonderful ways to remind us He still knows where we are. Luke 22, Jesus asked the boys, "When I sent you out without any money, did you go hungry?" "When I sent you out with extra coats, did you go cold?" "When I wouldn't let you take extra shoes, did your shoes wear out?" And the boys had to say, "We were never hungry. We were always clothed." I am so thankful today that our Master knows us and cares for us. And thank you, Racine, sending us, Sherry and me, a check 6 or 8 weeks ago. I'm thankful for the amount of money that was there, but you know what I'm really thankful for? I'm thankful for the Master who knows. Right where we are. I didn't ask for the check, but the Master asked you to send it to me, and I was humbled by receiving that, Pastor, truly was. And also I had to pause and just worship the King who says, "You're my son, why wouldn't I take care?" If we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children.
All right.
If our son asks for bread, will we give him a stone? If he asks for fish, will we give him a serpent? Oh no, if we, being evil, how much more our Father which is in heaven gives good things to those. Lord, we thank You this morning for the good things. Lord, our heart right now is flowing over with gratitude for Your abundant gifts and goodness. There have been many dark nights and we didn't know how to make it through, but Your abundant goodness came to us in the middle of the darkness of the night. There had been moments when we didn't know how we would go another day, but then You reminded us that we never, ever, ever walk alone. terrors clutched us on every side. And then we were reminded that when we walked through valleys or shadows of death, goodness and mercies would be more available and we would be more aware of them than ever before. So, Lord, right now, we take a praise break because our hearts are bubbling over with gratitude. We ask you to pause right now in what you want to do for us so we can do something for you, oh Lord. You're wanting to bless us, but we're asking you, Lord, would you hold the blessing just a moment? Because we want to bless you. Would you hold your gifts for us just a moment, oh Lord? Because I want to give you a gift. You have been so abundantly good to me. I thank you, oh Lord. My heart overflows with gratitude, your abundant goodness. Don't bless me just yet, Jesus. I want to bless you. Hold that blessing for a moment, Lord. Hold that thought. I want to bless you right now. Oh, you have been so good to me, oh Lord. When I didn't know how to take another step, your light provided a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. When I didn't know what to do, your shelter came around me. When Sherry and I faced a storm, you were not only with the disciples in their storm, but you were in the ship with us in our storm. So hold your blessing just a moment, Jesus. I want to bless you and thank you for your abundant goodness towards us. When my mind faced oppressions and fears ripped away at my ability to think straight and my emotions were torn by things around me, you were abundantly good and said, I have you in my hand. Let me restore your mind and let me heal your heart and let me give you security and safety in the middle of this storm. Before I take the storm away, I want to take your fear away. Before I quiet the waves, I want to quiet your spirit. So, Lord, let me just say thank you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for not turning to rocks to worship you this morning. Thank you for telling the mountain to stand still because we have come to magnify you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, all ye people. Oh, magnify his name, oh, you sons and daughters. Oh, give glory to him for his mercies. From everlasting to everlasting, let one generation tell the next generation, God has been good to us. In the morning, his mercies are good. In the night hour, his mercies know no end. Yes, there's a party spirit in the house. And with good reason, we serve a risen Savior. And he has brought us life and brought it more abundantly. I trust last Sunday you celebrated Pentecost and the life that comes with Pentecost, the new bread that comes with Pentecost. The Pentecost is the beginning of the harvest. I don't know, I may talk about it tonight, I haven't decided yet, but I believe that the 20s, this decade of the 20s, is supposed to be a harvest decade. Does anyone know what the 1920s were called? Roaring 20s. Labeled roaring because of jazz music. Labeled roaring because the way the economy was spinning so powerfully. Labeled roaring because of new automobiles taking people ways and speeds they had never gone before. Roaring because of liberation from social mores. I proclaim 2020s as a decade of harvest. I proclaim that should the Lord tarry throughout this decade, when we get to the 30s, the proclamation will be from God's people. I was blessed to be a part of the 20s, harvest 20s. I got to be there when the Spirit moved on us in new dimensions. I got to be there when he opened up prison doors and university doors and hospital doors for the Spirit to blow on Wall Street and to blow in new dimensions where faith and hope and joy would come. While persecution increased, grace increased even more. When blasphemy thought that they would silence the church grew exponentially. Beyond, and I was privileged to be a part of the harvest 20s. The Lord prepared a church for such a season. Amen. 3 John 1, shortest book in the New Testament. Many scholars think it's about this length because this is how much John could squeeze on one sheet of paper. I might be one of a handful of folks in the room that like nice paper. Anybody else in the room like nice paper? Okay, a few more than a handful, two hands full. The rest of you, you don't understand it. That's quite all right. But there's something for me, sitting down at a desk, nice piece of paper, thinking about a loved one, and just start jotting a few notes down on that piece of paper. That's what, can you picture an elder with me writing this? His 11 friends are all dead. One died by his own hand, but the other 10 died at the hands of evil people. I'm sure there were night hours that he, I kind of wish I could talk to Peter again. We had so much wonderful times with Jesus. And I prayed for Peter when he was called to go to new places. I prayed that he would be strengthened. My friend Peter's gone, and James is gone, and Andrew, he was quiet, but when someone needed a friend, Andrew was there. Their blood was shed for the church as Jesus's had been. Now this elder, last of that generation, as Pastor mentioned, my father just passed away about 5 weeks ago, and we were at the funeral home, and with COVID we couldn't have a service in a church, so we had to have it at the graveyard. And we were looking, my brothers and I were looking at each other, and so, well, we don't need chairs because we're the old people now. So please don't bring any chairs because that would remind me that I'm the old guy now. That's where John was. The elder unto the beloved Gaius, whom I loved in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things. Can you see him writing this? Dipping his quill in the ink and getting that blob off the end of it and then putting it down. I wish above all things that you could prosper and that your health would be as prosperous as your soul. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that's in you. That not only is the truth in you, but you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, they don't just have truth. My children aren't truth bankers. They aren't truth accountants. They aren't truth recorders. They're truth walkers. I come here this morning on this Sunday, a party Sunday, truly as God's people. There's an apostolic wish in the house today. There's an apostolic wish from John. I'm sure the pastor would join in with this apostolic wish that you be as healthy as your soul is. And that your soul be tuned as a truth walker. Not as a truth believer only, but a truth walker. Lord, we pray right now that your light guide us in our next spiritual step. That the healthiest part of our being would be our soul, and the rest of our body, our mind, our emotions catch up with the healthiness, the health, the well-being that's in our soul. Pray it in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All the missionaries may be seated. That's all y'all. Your missionaries in your world. I smile when I hear folks talk about newborn babies. It's hard not to. As they say, he has his daddy's eyes or his grandpa's ears. She has the mouth like her mama and a chin like her granny. And as that child grows older, sometimes you hear things like they walk just like their mama. Or you could sure see their dad in them. I am truly honored after I preach someone who knew my dad when they tell me, I can hear your dad when you speak. John believed you could see the master in his fellow worshipers. Throughout this third John, the word truth is there. It's in verse number 1. And throughout this short book, one papyrus sheet, he mentions truth over and over and over again. Why? Because the Jesus he followed, he said in John 14:6, Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. John 4:23, followers would have to worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. John 3:21 said that newborn believers were born in the light so that they would be able to not think truth, believe truth. No, John said so that they could do truth. Tragically, because we were born in modernity as a Pentecostal movement, sometimes we think truth is an idea instead of an action. Do you know the truth of the oneness? Now, while that has some mental revelation that's necessary, the truth of the oneness is really something we live, not something we think. Some folks say, well, I have trouble wrapping my brain around how God could be embodied as a human being. And I'm wanting you to know this morning that you don't have to wrap your brain around it if you'll just walk following Jesus. He didn't mind having dinner with folks which were marginalized and pushed aside and not valued by society. Are you willing to walk with Jesus, to talk with people, to love people, to share a life with people who were pushed aside? If so, then you know more about Jesus than you think you do. Jesus would reach out to those who were ill and broken and recognize their deepest needs were not always the paralysis in their legs. Instead, he would speak to them and say, "Your sins can be forgiven you." If you understand what is on the outside doesn't carry the full dimensions of a person's health, then you know more about Jesus than you're letting on, because truth is walked more than truth is known. You will know the truth, and the truth will, it'll make you free. It will set you free, and those who are free are truly free. Now, John also in his gospel and epistles talk about contra-examples. In John 8, 44 to 47 says Satan is basically anti-truth. He's the father of lies. See, you have truth, and you have not truth. The challenge for us is to decide which path we're going to walk. When I put in a location around Dallas in my GPS gives me several options. Some of them have dollar signs around them. And then I have to weigh out, do I want to take an extra 20 minutes to get to that location, or am I willing to pay the $3 to get there 20 minutes quicker? And I select the path. I want you to know this morning that the price has already been paid. Don't look at the price. Just accept what he has done on your behalf. There is no higher cost in walking the way of truth than walking the way of deceit. As a matter of fact, I think there are some folks in this room that can tell you it is much cheaper to walk the way of truth than it is to walk the way of deceit. In the way of truth, there is peace of your mind. In the way of deceit, there is the way of turmoil. In the way of truth, there is a selflessness. You don't have to live selfishly. You can live on behalf of others. You don't have to fight for yourself, because you know someone already battled the price for you and paid the price for you, and the war has already been won. But if you walk the way of deceit, you got to fight your own battles. I know that it is horrific that one human being would take the life of another human being. I understand there's turmoil in many of our cities in the evening times in which we are living right now. But if you're trying to earn right status with other human beings, you will simply become more and more angry, because no one else can give you what you're truly looking for. You're truly looking for someone to say you are tremendously valuable, and no one has a right to call you less valuable because of the color of your skin, or male or female, or your body size or shape, or because of your age, or your lack of educational opportunity, or because you're a street sweeper instead of the one who owns the street. But if you'll just come to the truth speaker today, you'll find one that'll tell you, "You're my son, you're my daughter, and in you I am well pleased." If you want to walk in the way of deceit and lies, you got to fight for everything you get. And you will never get enough. We don't have as many people who lived through the Depression as we did several years ago, but some of you remember your grandparents who lived through the Depression. Could not throw away a rubber band. Did any of you have grannies who saved every single twist tie off of a loaf of bread? I don't know what she was going to do with 47 years of twist ties, but they were ready. Some folks may be hoarders because of something that goes a little awry in the brain. Others are hoarders because they've went through seasons. when they didn't know where the next meal was coming from. I don't condemn someone for that. Instead, I invite them to step away from the lie that you can do it on your own. Why don't you walk in the truth that says we have value? This morning, someone needs to hear me. You are made in the image of God. And anybody that devalues you is devaluing God. He's not a black God or a white God. He's not an Asian God or a Latino God. He is not a God from Iceland or a God from Finland. He's the God of all creation. He's the creator of things and sustainer of all things. And inside every single human being, he said, I'm going to put my image in them. And no one has a right to demean them because that's my son. I made some of my sons black, and I made some of my sons white, but they are all my children, and no one will ever demean them in my sight. Amen. Now, when you walk in the way of lies, you've always got to demean somebody else. It helps you feel good. At least I'm not like them. We're better off than that. I'm so glad. You remember the old story? Oh, I wept because I had no shoes until I saw someone who had no feet. That's a lie over here. Truth says I'm valuable whether I have feet or not. Truth says I don't need to find somebody with less than me so I can feel good. That's what lies say. Lies say I can be happy with my house if I can find somebody with a worse house. That's what lies say. Lies say if I can have more next year than what I have right now, my year would have been worth it. That's what lies say. Truth says I've been purchased with a price. I am no longer my own. I belong to the King. And whether I live in a mansion or I live under a bridge, there is nobody can take away my humanity because I receive my humanity, my full humanity by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I have the divine right of being a son and daughter of an almighty God. That's what truth tells me. Father of all lies say, I'm not good. Truth says that we can know him. 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. Let's don't talk about love. Let's don't write a nice sonnet about love. But instead, let's love in deed and in truth. So John, the elder, he's sitting down. His hands are gnarled. There are liver spots on them. They are wrinkled. If you look closely, you can probably see a scar from when he was boiled in oil. And somehow the Lord told him he was going to live through that. But when he saw those scars, He doesn't see the star, the scar. There's something about when he looks in his hands, he remembers one piece of bread that fed a whole family. When he looks at his hands, he doesn't do what I do and lament that I can't whip off the lid of that stuck jar like I used to. You know, give it to me. Iron grip, smack, twist, and there it goes. I have to go find that piece of rubber and stick it on there, and I have to go stick it under the hot water because now I'm the old guy. I get to turn 60 next year. Woohoo. John, when he looks at his hands, he doesn't see what it can't do. When he looks at his hands, he sees the blessings that have flowed through those hands. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, when you walk in truth, your hands become conduits of God's grace to touch someone else. When you live in the land of the lie, You look at your hands and say, how come I don't have? When you live in the land of truth, you look at your hand and you can behold the blessings of an almighty God. And you can confess in truth land, I have more than what I deserve. And as a matter of fact, I want to find someone today that I can bless. That's what happens in truth land. So John, the elder, is writing now to Gaius. He says, I have an apostolic wish for you. My apostolic wish for you is prosperity and health. This word prosperity, it seems to connotate even a business or career piece. He says, I want your business to flourish. I want your career to flourish as much as your soul flourishes. Now, if I am living over here in the land of the lie, I don't want my body to be as healthy as my soul. So I have one question for us this morning. What condition would your physical health be in? You know the rest of the question, don't you? What condition would your physical health be in if John got his wish for you? If your body, if your career, if your house, if everything you own, if it was in the condition of your soul, would you be pleased with that? When John saw Gaius, he saw a beautiful walker of truth. He was confident when he wrote this letter to Gaius, dipping that ink that perhaps he had squeezed from berries the night before, on a sheet of parchment that somehow he had managed to scrounge up because paper was very expensive in those days. 10 sheets roughly equaled the cost of a cell phone today. Okay? Papyrus came from Egypt. Parchment came from southern Europe. There weren't any papers made around where Jerusalem was or around where Turkey was. Parchment could only grow. The papyrus could only grow in Egypt, and the parchments from the hides of animals, that was from southern Europe. So he finds a sheet of paper, and on the sheet of paper, he is able to write, oh, my wish, my prayer, my desire for you is that you be as healthy as your soul is. This morning, we can walk in the wonder of knowing that we can not only hold the truth, but we have the opportunity to walk in the truth. And if I walk in the truth, then I can honestly look in the mirror and say, Lord, would you make my body as healthy as my soul? Now, if I'm only walking in truth when I come to church on Sunday and Wednesday and Saturday morning prayer meetings, if those are my only moments of contemplating truth, then please don't ask for a body that matches your soul. Okay? Because you may need a defibrillator. Some people want to dance between the land of the lie and the land of the truth, so they have pacemakers with defibrillators put in them. So if they hang out too far in the land of the lie, thinking it's all about them, thinking they have to defend themselves and earn status, they want that defibrillator to give them a good jolt. Fry them a little bit, just a little bit, to jolt them over to the land of the truth where they for a moment can say, God is good. And I believe I'm among some brothers and sisters as we worshiped a while ago. We were firmly in the land of truth that said, my God has supplied according to all of his riches and glory. And we have sought first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness and all the other things our God is able to give us according. He looks at those birds. herds out in the field, and he knows all of them by name, but yet he cares more about you and about me. Brothers and sisters, would you get out of the land of the lie and get over in the land of the truth today and say, this apostolic message is something I want to breathe on Tuesday morning. I want to have it as I go to work on Wednesday. I want to go to the grocery store and walk in truth every step of the way. The elder says, I have great joy. The last of the apostles, the only one left, all the others had died for the gospel's sake. And I'm sure John sometime would look in that puddle of water and see his reflection quivering under those little waves. And he would wonder, why am I left here? I think John was left so he could send words to some people and say, there's nothing greater to see. My children, not know truth, but walk in truth. You can see it in the epistle right next to it. Second epistle of John. I rejoice greatly. I found your children walking in truth. I'm wondering, as I get to turn 60 next year, I'm wondering if the decade of the 20s, Lord, would you bless me with my deepest joy to be seeing people walk in truth. I don't know if I'll ever get to see the Grand Canyons or not. Maybe the Princess and I'll take a trip over there someday. But Lord, I don't want to go a week without rejoicing over seeing somebody making the choice that above all else they're going to walk in truth. No matter how much it appears to cost them, no matter how much it appears they get rid of the honor that the world has to offer and they give that honor and glory to God. Lord, I don't want to go a week without rejoicing over a sister, a brother, a young person, an elder that can't come to church anymore, but I can hear their frail voice saying, it's been a good life serving Jesus. And I would not cash in any of those worship services that I gave him from years gone by. I would not trade off any fast day for a trip to Italy. And I would not want back one dime from an offering that I gave to him. I'm so glad I gave him my life, because now in these last days I find my greatest joy in knowing I walked in truth. Does anyone want that on their gravestone? He knew how to walk in truth. I don't know about you, but I can't think of something more special to someone to say about me is, Jim doesn't talk about it. He doesn't just write about it. I would to God that my life reflected what Gaius's life did. As I go about my business enterprise, when I go shopping, when I greet a traveler on the way and I share my meal with them, someone would say, Jim, like Gaius, knows how to walk in truth. Sherry and I, we enjoy driving through small towns. We like to get off the interstate, take the business loop. Goes into town. I know we're a little weird, but we do that if we have time. Sometimes I'll just jerk off the interstate onto business route, whatever, and Sherry will say, well, what are we going to see now? And my answer is, we're about to find out. Somebody's lived here a long time. There's got to be something cool to see in this town. So we'll just take a ride and go around the main street square and then maybe a couple streets over till we can see that street of nice old houses with the big porches and swings when people didn't have air conditioners, so they sat outside. because I just want to see what the journey is like. No one goes by my physical home and says, wow, how cool it would be to live there. When I live in the land of the lie, I lament that I don't have an enviable house. Because I see those nice places, and when my spirit is weary, I can't drive through nice neighborhoods because the land of the lie gets in me. And the lie says I deserve. Anybody else hear those lies? Can you hear the lie this morning? The lie of I worked as hard as they did. I've been good. I have stayed. And how come I don't get? Psalmist put it this way, I almost slipped. I was on the slippery slope of lie land. But when I joined with some folks and began to worship, I moved out of the lie land and I went straight into the truth land. And I remembered my God has been good to me. I have no reason to lament. I have reason to rejoice. I will not look at someone else's good fortune and say that's good fortune. Instead, I will say my God is good to me and I'm a blessed man. And I like this life that I have. It's a good life living for the Lord because I get to walk in truth. Someone wants to worship Jesus right now. Go ahead. Lord, we praise you. We praise you. I praise you, Lord. Does anybody else feel lies losing their grip on you? Anybody else feel lie land losing its lease on your life? It doesn't own you. Truth land is where you belong. And you've been bought with a price so that you could walk in truth and you could receive the joy of the Master. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's okay right now if you need to repent of hanging out in lie land a little bit. It's a good time to repent. This is a good time to say, Lord, I'm so sorry that I listened to lies a little bit too much. I was listening to the wrong party line. I was listening to a world of fear and anger and hopelessness, and I've been tuned into the party line, wrong frequency. But this morning, I'm listening to your voice, and I'm hearing your voice above every other voice. So, Lord, forgive me of listening to the wrong line. This morning I hear your voice and you are merciful to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I repent, O Lord. I repent, O Lord, for listening to lies. I repent, O Lord, from being influenced by lies, influenced by deceit, when all the while you're wanting to influence me with truth and mercy and joy and peace. You're wanting to influence me with hope, and I've been listening to despair. You've been wanting to influence me with joy, and I've been listening to sadness and sorrow of this world. You've been wanting to influence me with life everlasting, and all I've been seeing around me is death and pain. Oh Lord, I repent of those things and I reposition myself in the land of truth where you have opened the door. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, there's an unction of the Holy Spirit in this room right now. The Holy Spirit is calling someone, is beckoning to someone. Would you step out of the lie and would you walk in a way of truth? Matter of fact, let's stand right now. Holy Spirit is calling. Holy Spirit is beckoning. There's more to that message. It'll have to wait. And right now, the Holy Spirit is calling someone. Would you step out of a lie and would you walk in truth? Don't just know the truth. Don't be an apostolic that knows Jesus is one. Be willing to walk in peace and walk in joy, following the peacemaker and the giver of hope. I surrender it all to you right now, Lord Jesus. Lord, you have a purpose for the saints in Racine. You have a role for every person, every family, every ministry, and for this congregation for Harvest 20. This is a decade of destiny for your people. In the name of Jesus, I pray right now. Relocate us out of the lie into the land of truth so that we can do that which you have called us to do in this decade. You can either come to this altar or you can stand where you are. Just raise a hand toward the heavens and say, "Oh Lord, here I am. I will walk in your mercies. I will walk in truth. Let my soul be healthy so that my body and my prosperity can follow the condition of my soul." What I value is more important than what I own. What I value is a treasure more than what I can lock in a security box. What I value with my emotions and my time and my effort is more valuable than what folks can count in a checkbook. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.